Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. My Father has told me for 25 years that Jesus is coming soon. His Father told him for 50 years that Jesus is coming soon. And his Father told his Father for 50 years that Jesus is coming soon. We've heard it from our father. We've heard it from our grandfather. We've heard it from our great-grandfather. Jesus is coming soon. But Jesus has not come. And the question I pose to you this morning, for you to think through in your own mind, is this. Could it be because our father, our grandfather, and our great-grandfather have all said Jesus is coming soon, and yet he has not come, that we're beginning to think that Jesus will not come soon? And could it be that when we begin to think Jesus will not come soon, that it will be at that time exactly that he will come? I believe with no doubt in my mind that Jesus is coming soon. I believe that due to my relationship with God, that I will live to see Jesus come in the clouds of heaven. I don't care if my father and his father said he is going to come soon and he hasn't come. I know with no doubt in my mind that he is coming soon. The signs all around us testify to the fact that Jesus is coming soon. If you study the environmental issues that are taking place around us, you will clearly come to the understanding that Jesus not only is coming soon, but that he must come soon. We must not begin to think that the day of the Lord is far off. We must begin to think that today is the day. Please turn in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. Bible reads, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Far be it from us to put the day of the Lord afar off." We must begin to think and live as if the Lord was going to come today. There is no possible way we can accomplish God's work the way he wants us to do it if we're putting the day of the Lord far off. We will cease to witness, we'll cease to have the desire to live a godly life, we'll cease to pray, and we'll cease to study our Bible. But bring the day of the Lord near and live as if it's going to happen today, and we'll all be on our knees praying to God for his intervention in our lives. We'll all be praying for a closer walk with him. We'll all be working for the salvation of souls, and we'll all be moving in the path of righteousness. God is calling a people back to the book, and the book says Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Noah was a man of God. Noah was called to prepare the world for a coming flood. In fact, he was called how many years before the fact? 120 years. Well, do you find Noah waiting until there's a year left to start building the ark? The moment God called him to do the work, what did he do? He began to work. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. The Bible reads as follows. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. I'm going to stop there for a moment, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Have you, as followers of the Word of God, been divinely warned of things not yet seen? What did he do? He sat down. He waited. No, he moved. He got up. He immediately did something. He moved with what? Godly fear. Because of what God had revealed to him, he moved immediately. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God called Noah 120 years before the fact. Did Noah know when that flood was coming? No. Read your Bible closely. Noah did not know. All he knew that a flood was coming. If he knew the time, what would he have done? He would have waited. All he knew was that God had called him to build because God was going to bring a flood upon the world to destroy its wickedness. Not knowing the time, he immediately after hearing God's revelation moved with godly fear and prepared the ark for the saving of his household. If you and I have been called by God, if we begin to understand that what happened in the days of Noah, so also will come to pass in the days of what? The coming of the Son of Man, then we will move with godly fear. We will prepare an ark for the saving of our household. We will not be sitting down as Christians, pew warmers. We'll be doing God's will. We'll be preparing our families for the kingdom of God and for the coming of Christ. We will be witnessing in our communities, preparing them for the same thing. It is high time that we moved with godly fear because we know what's coming upon the earth. In preparing ourselves, our families, our friends, and our community for that day when Jesus will come. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4. God calls Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham the following: Get out of your country, from your kindred and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, just before we see what Abraham did, as God revealed this to him, let us think a moment about what God was telling him to do. God was telling him to leave what? Leave his country, which he'd got accustomed to, and go to a place which he knew nothing about. God was telling him to leave, what does it say? Your kindred. And get away from your father's house. Had God revealed anything to him about the land of Canaan? No. Do you hear Abraham asking God what the climate might be like? No. Do you hear Abraham asking God if the soil is fertile? No. Do you hear Abraham asking God whether the country to which he was to go offered agreeable surroundings and would afford opportunities for gaining great wealth? No. God called, and Abraham did what? He obeyed, and he went to a place of which he knew how much? Nothing. Did Abraham hesitate? Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Immediately upon hearing God's revelation to depart, what did Abraham do? He departed. Abraham understood that today is the day. He understood that when God called, what should he do? He should respond, and how quickly? Right away. Noah knew the same thing. God called, Noah obeyed. And how quickly did Noah begin to build that ark? Immediately. Even though the flood was not to come for 120 years. God is calling a people back to his word. He's calling a people who will act and live as if today is the day. And in fact, the only way to accomplish God's work the way God intends it to be accomplished is to believe and live and act as if today is the day. Otherwise, we do not carry with us the concern which we should. We do not carry with us the motivation which we need. We do not carry with us the conviction that we must have. So we must believe, act, and live as Noah and Abram, as if today is the day. When God calls, what do? We move. And how quickly do we move? We move right away as a united body of Jesus Christ. Now the next one is a tough one. I have difficulty with the next one. Because God made a request of Philip, which to me made no sense at all. It's found in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying the following, arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I got no problem up to there, until I read the next short sentence. This is desert. Now, why would God call Philip to go into the desert? Because people don't live in the desert. Where do they live? They live either in the city or the surrounding regions. They live in areas that are fertile, but no one is in the desert. And if I was Philip, I might say to God, God, what do you want me to go in the desert for? It's just, there's nothing there. But Philip didn't do that. God asked Philip to go into the desert because God knew that someone open to the truth would be passing through the desert. Did Philip know it? Did God say to Philip that he'd meet this man in the desert? No. He just said, go along the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, and that's it. Well, you know, we live in a world and a society, even we as Christians, we like to question everything today. And to question some things is okay. But when God gives a call to do a certain thing, we have no need to question. Even if it makes no sense at all, we must obey. In fact, if we do question a direct call of God when He asks us to do something, God at the same time may be asking us to rethink why we asked him the question. We do not need answers to everything. When God gives an explicit, direct command, we don't need to ask anything. All we need to do is move with godly fear in obedience to the call to which he's given. No, I don't want to be around a people that ask a lot of questions. Because most of the time when you ask questions, it's a problem with faith. God gives evidence. But God does not answer all the questions. I know by personal experience that God exists. I know He's active in my life. I know He's changing my character. I know He's given me a call. And when He says something, I don't need to ask Him a question. All I need to do is follow His command. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, He arose and went. And what happened? He met a man studying the Word of God, Isaiah 53. Yet he did not know what he was reading, who it pertained to. And Philip met this man, and he explained the Scripture to him. And then what did he do? He took him down into the water, and he was baptized into Jesus Christ. And that Ethiopian went back to his country, and what was he? He was a witness to the saving power of Christ among his own people. Why? Because one man obeyed a command which made no sense without asking any questions. Go into the desert. Philip obeyed, and he obeyed how quickly? Immediately. Abraham obeyed, and he obeyed how quickly? Immediately. Noah obeyed, and he obeyed how quickly? Immediately. Did you know that there's people in the world today waiting to hear the message of salvation? They're studying the Word of God as the Ethiopian in the desert. And God is waiting for a people who will explicitly obey His voice that He can lead His people to explain the Scriptures to them. Do you remember the story of Cornelius? In Acts chapter 10. Do you remember that story? He was a centurion. Bible says he was a devout man. He was one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people. He prayed to God always. One day he's in his home. He's praying at the ninth hour. And who appears to him? An angel of God appears to him. And the angel says for him to send men to Joppa. To meet up with who? With Peter. And that Peter has a message for this centurion and his household. The men whom he calls to send to Peter, they go to Peter. They meet Peter, and they bring Peter back with them. Peter comes into the home, and he begins to explain why he's there. And Cornelius says this, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. And then Cornelius says this to Peter, so I sent to you immediately. And you have done well to come. Cornelius was a man seeking for the truth, was he not? He wanted to know the truth. There are many out there seeking to know the truth in a clear light, just as Cornelius. God at the same time was preparing who? Peter to answer the prayer of Cornelius, because do you remember what happened to Peter? God gave him a vision and told him to eat all of the unclean foods which he saw. And Peter came to realize through that vision that he was to call no man common or unclean. In other words, salvation was not only for the Jew, it was also for who? It was also for the Gentiles. Salvation is for all mankind. And as God prepared Peter through that vision, immediately those from the household of the centurion were there to bring Peter back to explain the way of salvation. Do you think that dynamic is possible today? Do you think that dynamic is possible today? Do you think God has a people out there studying their Bible but not being able to understand it clearly? Seeking for more light or a further knowledge of the truth? As those people are out there, just as surely God is preparing a people in here to go out and show them the way of truth in a clearer manner. And when we're prepared, God will answer their prayer, and He'll answer it how quickly? Right away. God has called a people to act, live, and believe as if today is the day of salvation. Noah believed it, and he moved with godly fear. Abraham believed it, and without question, he moved from his home to a land of which he knew nothing. Philip obeyed, not knowing why God had called him to go into the desert. And Cornelius had his prayer answered because he acted upon God's message to him how quickly? Immediately. There is no time for waiting. If we are in the process of waiting, we'll be waiting too long, and we'll wait past the close of probation, and we will be lost. The time has come not to wait, but to move, to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, to prepare our families for the coming of Christ, to prepare our church for the coming of Christ, and to prepare our community for the coming of Christ. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Romans 13, starting in verse 8. The Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does how much harm? No harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We talk a lot about the fulfillment of the law. But I want to ask you a question this morning. The Bible says that love does how much harm to a neighbor? No harm to a neighbor. Am I harming my neighbor by not believing, living, and acting as if Christ is coming today? Therefore, am I fulfilling the law? You could keep the Sabbath from here to Jesus comes. You can worship no idol. You can outwardly fulfill all of the commandments. But if I am not concerned about myself, my family, my church, and my neighbor, if I'm not concerned with informing them by living and acting and speaking as if Jesus Christ is coming today, then I am doing them what? I'm doing them harm. I'm not fulfilling the law. God has called us to love our neighbor. And our neighbor is anyone outside of ourself. I must believe, live, and act and speak within my own home, within my church, and within my community as if Jesus Christ is coming today. Thereby I do them no harm, and thereby I fulfill the law. Verse 11, do this. Do what? Do this. Do what? Love your neighbor. Do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, in licentiousness, lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now is high time to love our neighbor as ourself. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is high time that we believe, live, act, and speak as if Jesus Christ is coming today. Noah did it. He heard the call. He moved immediately with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Abraham did it. Upon God's call to leave his kindred, his father's house, the home to which he was accustomed, and go to a land of which he knew nothing, he immediately obeyed. Philip did it, asking no question as to why God would send him into the desert. He obeyed the express command and will of God. And he did it immediately. Cornelius, upon God sending an angel to him to give him direction, immediately responded, and God blessed him with sending Peter to show him the way of salvation more clearly. God has called his people today to move, and to move immediately. There is no time to wait. There is no time to sit down and take it easy. Today is the day of salvation. We have been called. We are to move. We are to carry the message of salvation to our home, to our church, and to our community, and we are to do it right now. As we do it, you will not believe what God himself will do. Amen.